study on Jonah or Ruth on Wednesday night. So what I decided was I'd do Ruth on Wednesday night, and you get Jonah in the morning on Sunday. And so you get the fish story. If you want the love story, you got to come on Wednesday night. So this is a fish story today. So today I want to begin a series on the prophet Jonah, and I think most of us all know the story of Jonah, who got swallowed by a big fish or maybe a whale or whatever. But I would like to dedicate this series, and there's several in this one, to anyone who has run from God in the past. Or this message may wake somebody up here today and you are running from God right now. Thirdly, I dedicate this series of messages to anybody who may have plans to run from the Lord in the future. That ought to cover most all of us, I expect. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would speak to us today through the story of Jonah. And as we begin to look at this, especially from the idea of running from you, I ask that you would give us all a message. In Jesus' name, amen. We can regularly hear about Jonah in Sunday school as kids. One of the problems with who we are as adults is that we never take time to look at the message behind the stories in the Bibles, and so we always kind of leave them there as small children, and we think that that's what they're really all about, and we never deal with them in terms of our own faith as adults, and we think that stories are for children. They have no message for mature adults. Well, actually, all the stories in the Bible kind of run on several levels, and they can be received simply as the story, or you can look deeper and see the hidden principles that are living in it. And Jonah is really no exception to this. Jonah is the story of a man who runs from God. And Jonah is a prophet, and you might say an ordained minister if you want to. And God tells him to do something, and he runs the other way. Anybody here ever run from God? Anybody here running from God right now? God has told you to do something, and you just plain willfully refuse, and you go the other way. Well, let's settle back for an old-fashioned fish story, and let's save the big questions of how and why this could be, and just look at the principles for us, and just kind of look at them. Once upon a time, there was this fisherman who had two sons named Tuard and Away. And every day he would go fishing and return late at night and always talking about the giant fish that he had almost caught. And one day he took Tuard and Away fishing with him, and then that night he returned more excited than he had ever been. He says, Sally, you should have seen the fish I saw today, a tremendous gray fish, 10 feet long, with horns and fur all over its back, and it had legs like a caterpillar. It came crawling out of the water and snatched our son Tuard and swallowed him in one gulp. And Sally said, good gracious, that's horrible. He said, I know, but you should have seen the one that got away. Are you guys out there? Now, some people think Jonah is just a story, a fish story, not true. It's kind of like the drunk who stopped in front of an enormous stuffed grouper in a glass case. And he stared at it for a moment, and then he said, you know, the fellow that caught that's a liar. Think about it. You all are built too low. The good ones are going over your head. Think about it. I had to explain that one to Berta. Jesus doesn't consider Jonah just a story. Read with me Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 to 41. And Jesus is talking about the story of Jonah. Here we go. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees said to him, Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you. But he answered them, An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will arise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here. This is not just a fish story, according to Jesus. So I want to look at the first chapter of Jonah and see if it doesn't speak to us a little bit deeper than a children's story. And so let's go fishing in some deep water here and see what it does with a man, a prophet, a preacher who runs from God. Let's read verses 1 through 3 of Jonah. Here we go. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. This is a man who is told by God to do something and he runs from it. This story may be 2,500 years old and everything has changed, but I'm going to tell you, nothing's different. Everything's different today, but nothing's changed. People run from God all the time. I expect there's somebody here today, if we were to look in your windows, you're running from God right now. God has told you to do something. You're just kind of like Jonah. You're deliberately going in a different direction. If you look at the scripture, it says that God said to Jonah, "Get up and go and speak to the people of Nineveh." And he said, "Jonah, get up out of your comfort and move in the direction that I tell you and be my voice to these people in Nineveh." And Jonah gets up all right, obviously. God has disturbed his comfort, and he gets moving, but he moves away from the direction and the purpose that God gives him. And the reason is, he may be God's man, but he hates the people of Nineveh. They are the enemies of Israel. It's one thing to be a prophet to God's people, but it's another thing to go and minister to somebody you can't stand or you hate or is your natural enemy. And Jonah was a Jew, and he wanted God to destroy this people because of their evil against the Jews, if for no other reason. And God wants to give the people a chance to change and repent because God doesn't really want anyone to perish. Even your enemies, by the way. Now think about the person or people you most dislike. This is just who, if they were to walk in here, it would curdle your stomach. More than likely, you've got somebody like that in your life, or have had somebody like that. A person who has done you dirty, maybe still is. Think about that person. What if God told you to go and be God's person to that, God's voice to that person, and offer them salvation in Jesus Christ, and you're appointed to be a messenger of God to bring salvation into your enemy's life? Would you do it? Has God ever put that burden on you by chance? Some people think that Jonah wrestles with whether he ought to go or not, but it doesn't show that right here in Scripture. He never even thinks about it. He just runs. He's running from God, and twice it says that he was trying to get away from the presence of God. Now, we know we can't get away from the presence of God, but we do it too, actually. We try to get away from the presence of God. We do all kinds of things to get away from God in our lives, whether we admit it or not. If there's anybody here and you're running from God, you have run right into his presence again right here today. That's the first and second message here in chapter 1. First, if God has told you to do something, it is wisdom to do it. Second, if you're running from God, you can't get away from him. And for somebody here today, that fact might be that you're sitting here listening and you're hearing this message. You ran right into his presence. Third principle in this first chapter is that sometimes the storms of life that come our way are because we're running from God and what he wants us to do in somebody's life or in some situation. Read with me verses 4 to 6. Here we go. "But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried to his God, and they threw the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, 'What do you mean, you sleeper? arise, call upon your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we do not perish. Now, notice that the Lord hurled a great wind. If you actually read the words, he hurled a great wind. He threw this wind at the sea and created a storm. And this was step one in divine persuasion, I think, sometimes. This is God getting our attention. You know, the storms of life sometimes come our way because we are moving in the wrong direction. And we sometimes do it on purpose, by choice. And the wind begins to blow. But Jonah is not concerned. Now, if you were to do this in terms of dream interpretation, ships always represent the hope of change and new things in our lives. And if you're dreaming of a ship and you're about to be shipwrecked, then that represents personal breakdown and this. And that's where Jonah is really headed. Now, since Jonah is asleep in the hold of the ship, he is also really into himself. He's asleep in his inner being where hidden motives lie and where his understanding of his nature is really seated. He's asleep in the ship. And he is deep within him. He has a commitment to God as a prophet. We know that. But he is denying his commitment to God, his relationship with God, and he is asleep. Now, sleep is a kind of a living death, actually. We do this all the time. We go to sleep in terms of our relationship with Jesus. We go to sleep in terms of our relationships with other people. We go to sleep. And we move in the wrong direction, and a lot of times we're doing it on purpose. Now, don't believe that a person who runs from the Lord is miserable all the time, because they're not. Don't believe that they can't find rest, because they can. We can get very comfortable and sleep right through periods of rising storms in our lives. Well, the Lord starts slowly. The wind comes up, and then the storm forms, and Jonah's sleeping, and the Lord does the same kinds of things with us. The wind can begin to blow in our lives, and a storm may be coming upon us, and our ship of life is threatened to break up, but we can be asleep at the wheel. And then he begins phase two. Notice the people around us sometimes wake us up. This sermon could be a wake-up call for somebody from the captain of your ship of life. People around us become instruments of God's persuasions at times. Notice what they did. They threw the cargo overboard. They begin to do things that would lighten the load, you might say. And they take away some of the burdens of life. And people do this for us, too. Maybe you're doing it for somebody right now, trying to lighten their load a little by helping cast off some of the weight from their waywardness. I mean, I've seen parents do this for kids. I've seen spouses do it for their spouse. Well, let me tell you something. There's nothing wrong with doing that, but if the storm in the person's life is because God wants them to change their directions, you might as well go and yell at them and see if you can wake them up, because the storms of life will not stop until the focus of the storm, and that's the person, is brought to some kind of understanding. Now, you may have a loved one, a son, a daughter, spouse, parent, friend, who is running from God, and you know they are. Now, if there's somebody running from God here, you may not know who you are. You may be asleep at the wheel. But they might be in a stupor or kind of sleep, and you think that they will never wake up in terms of their direction. We get disheartened that they might just sleep through the shipwreck of their life. But I tell you what, God isn't through with them anymore, and he was through with Jonah. So the captain, a person involved in the direction that Jonah's life is moving, comes and he yells at him. He says, "Wake up! Maybe if you call upon your God, he will save us." The fact of the matter is, maybe that's my job today. Say to somebody here, "Wake up. You need to get in touch with Jesus, because your life sinks. Is sinking, and you might drown in it." Okay, let's read verses 7 to 10. And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation, and whence do you come? What is your country, and of what people are you?" And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is this that you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Tell you what, Jonah's an interesting guy. These guys cast lots. They use some kind of fortune telling to determine who was to blame for this particular storm at sea. And well, their fortune telling picks Jonah. And are we surprised? No, because the God who can hurl winds and bring a big fish to swallow a wayward prophet can surely fix a lottery. But there stood Jonah with his prophet's mantle wrapped around him, looking sleepy-eyed, and the dice point to him, and they bombard him with questions. Who are you? What do you do? What have you done to bring this calamity on us? Where are you from? Who are your people? And he says, "I'm a Jew. I fear the Lord." It's a funny way of showing it, running from God. He says, "The God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land." And you got to notice the order there. He says, "the sea and the dry land." Jonah was saying, "My relationship is with God of the seas." And the order is important because he was in the midst of an unkind sea that was about to shipwreck this whole bunch. And this is when these men were exceedingly afraid, and they said to him, "What is this that you have done?" Now, there's a principle here for anyone here, and you name Jesus as your Savior. If you do, and you have a relationship with Jesus, and you deliberately choose to turn away from his lordship, I want you to know that it affects everybody around you. It affects your family, your friends, maybe your business, associates that you work with in the workplace. If you run from the things that you are called to do and to be in this world by the Lord Jesus, you can become a curse on the lives of other people. So I want to talk to you if you name Jesus as your Savior. If you have a relationship with Jesus and you have said in your heart, "I will serve you, Jesus," and then you deny him when he calls and you run the other way, you can become a real problem for people around you. Some who are Christians, but some who aren't Christians. Non-believers, just like the crew of this ship that Jonah was on. They believed in God. They were a religious people, but they weren't believers in the one true God who was revealed through the Jews. And I know this, we all have people around us, and they may or may not be Christian. They may believe in a higher power or some kind of God, but they aren't followers of Jesus, some of them. And if you run from God, your rebellion can bring storms on other people around you. Now, let me put it this way in terms of this story. You know there's nothing worse to stir up trouble than to have a prophet of God in your midst. When he speaks for God, prophets were troublers of the people. They would stir up all kinds of trouble just speaking for God. But I tell you that, as bad as that can be, sometimes they have a prophet around who's running away from God and his will. It can be a lot worse than a prophet of God who is in your midst, who is actually in the will of God. Well, in this heathen world, some Christians, non-Christians, might think it's a real pain to have a Christian around. But it might be a lot worse to have a Christian around who refuses to do what God says and is running from God. If you are running from God, your testimony or lack of it affects those who have never received Jesus. You are the gospel that they are missing. Your life is a revelation of Jesus Christ, whether it's clear or fuzzy or even negative. Now, it scares these guys that Jonah has the audacity to run from the presence of God. Now, I have opportunity to take tours in people's lives, and it scares me when I come across a follower of Jesus, and this includes some of the people in this church over the years, and they will probably deny it, but they run from what God is telling them to do, and that scares me for them. If you're God's person by relationship, by your own vow, if you run, you will be pursued, and all kinds of storms can come your way. Well, these guys were very afraid. Let's read verses 11 to 16. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. He said to them, "Take me up and throw me into the sea, then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring the ship back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore they cried to the Lord, "We beseech thee, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee." So they took up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. Now Jonah is an interesting fellow here because he knows he is running from God. He knows it. He knows he has a relationship of authority with God. He knows the answer. He says, "I'm the problem. I'm out of order. I'm not doing what I was told to do. Your lives will settle down if you just throw me overboard and let God deal with me." And Jonah was dealing with himself. He didn't want to do what he was told to do by God. He didn't want to be God's agent for his enemies. And Jonah is like so many of us at times. We say we love Jesus. We say we want to serve him. But the minute we get something laid on us by God that really doesn't suit us, we run, we deny, we balk, we stick our heads in the sand, we get obstinate, we go the other way just as fast as we can. And some storm comes upon us and we get placed in a situation with others and we cause them problems as well. Then we begin to take it to heart. Now, Jonah wasn't suicidal. He was just aware of the truth. "You get away from me, you throw me overboard, let me sink or swim in God's presence." And Jonah wasn't dealing with evil. He was dealing with good old Jonah and the way he wanted things to be in terms of his relationship as prophet to God. He wanted it his way. And these guys don't throw him in right away. If you notice, they try to save him by human means. What they do is they start throwing everything. They're rowing really hard. And they finally end up giving him up into the hands of God. They say a prayer. And if you read the prayer, they're asking not to be condemned for giving up on their attempts to save themselves along with Jonah. And sometimes that's the way it is with us or our Christian friends who may decide to run from God. Finally, we ask God to forgive us for turning loose of those who continually choose to run from God. We give them into the hands of God. We literally ask God to forgive us because we don't want to end up dying with them. You know, if there's anybody here and you're running from God and you wonder why your friends, associates, even family cut you adrift on the sea of life, and maybe that they have done as much as they can, and they just don't want to drown with you. So don't blame them if you're running from God. And maybe you've been one who has had to cut somebody loose. Well, they threw Jonah into the sea, and the storm in their life ceased. Jonah was on his own. He was adrift on the sea of life in the hands of an angry God, or maybe not angry, maybe just a God who loves not only Jonah, but the people of Nineveh as well. Because of his relationship with Jonah, he was willing to go to extremes. Now, we're going to leave Jonah adrift on the sea of life. If there's anybody here and you're running from God and not doing what he told you to do, I'm going to leave you in the water as well. You may know somebody in your life who is running from God. You have to cut them loose. The storm in your life that dies down because once you cut them loose, watch what happens. One final point. These men on the ship worshiped, and they made commitments to the God of Jonah because of the calm seas. Sometimes silence and peace or calm come quickly, and that impacts people as well as a raging storm. And because of their negative experience with this man of God, they still receive salvation. So let me end with this truth. If God wants you, you can run, but you can't hide. You can run, but you can't hide.